Good day, everyone, and thank you very much to the organizers for asking me or inviting me to come. I brought a book with me. It's called Living a Healthy Life with Chronic Pain. It's the book that we use when we implement chronic pain self-management programs around the world, and I'm going to give it away. Okay? So, I guess I only have one book, so what I'll do is at the end I'll ask a question. So if you've been following along, you answer the question. Now, Ellen, would you be the judge to see who answers the question first? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give, it's quite interesting because I'm just going to say things that are very similar to what you're saying, but I'm going to say them in a different way. Okay? I'm going to talk about self-management, a public health option of dealing with chronic pain. Okay? And I want to explain that. And then I'll tell you about how self-managed programs work to deal with chronic pain and some of the evidence, okay? So I have to say that Self-Management BC is what the organization I'm with, which is part of University of Victoria Institute on Aging as well, is funded by the Ministry of Health in British Columbia, part of the Patients as Partners program for the last about 20 years, okay? So I asked one of my students to take a look at the recent media on chronic pain. You know, like go to the journals and see what it says. And my gosh, comes with 1 in 5 Canadian adults suffer from chronic pain. Women are constantly more likely than men to report chronic pain, regardless of where they live or age. The prevalence of chronic pain is as high as 65% of community-dwelling seniors and 80% and older adults living in long-term care facilities. Pain and chronic conditions are closely related. Pain is the most common reason for seeking health care in Canada. You see how this is getting alarming? Okay? Chronic pain is associated with worse quality of life. The prevalence of flourishing mental health in people with chronic pain is significantly lower than people without. People living with chronic pain have double the risk of suicide. Okay? The estimated annual cost of chronic pain in Canada is $56 to $60 billion. And then lastly, pain research is grossly underfunded. Okay, 1% of total funding for Canadian institutes. So you think, my gosh, like how did it get so bad? Did we hear about this 10, 15 years ago? A little bit, but not as much. Okay? And you know, even when our friend Beethoven, you know, as his hearing diminished, buzzing and sharp pains in his ears took place. So he was experiencing chronic pain, I mean, as well as ill health, abdominal pains, diarrhea, headaches, recurrent infections, eye and skin problems, and also liver. Okay? But it's almost, you know, they're trying to make a case that all these health problems drove him to do even better. So even like 200 years later, we're still so amazed at Beethoven. So that was a wonderful opening. Okay. So now, let's look at the picture. So many people are experiencing chronic pain. It's so prevalent. Now, what I did is made this graph here. Distribution of chronic pain severity in the Canadian adult population. Okay, so we've all been to university most, and remember the bell curve? Remember that? So on the bottom scale is if you asked all the people who have chronic pain, you'd say, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is hardly any pain at all, and 10 is the worst pain you can imagine, like, how would you score yourself? And you see that it's all along the scale, okay? But the average was be about 6. Now, I don't know if the average is 6. I'm just estimating that from my work with people with chronic pain, okay? But it could be lower, it could be higher. So then you look at the distribution, and when it says minus 1 SD, that means 34% of the people are in that area, and plus 1 is 34% are in that area. And then that area in the back end, the heavy red bars. Okay? So you notice that 16% of people are in severe chronic pain, like 7.5 to 10. Okay? Now, how do we approach treatment for chronic pain? Do we just treat the people who are the sickest, the clinical perspective? You know, why not the sickest people? We need to help them more than anybody else. But that's only 16% of the population of chronic pain. Now, when we treat people, we're not always successful. Like, what percent of the time? Like, these are the sickest people with chronic pain, the most severe chronic pain. Like, what percent of the time do you think we'd be successful treating them? It's estimated about 10%. We're only able to help 10% of these people. So 10% of 16% is 1.6% of the population. So the other method is, why not use the public health option to treat anybody just in the, like, 84% of the population on top, from one range all the way to the other? And if you're only successful in 10% of the cases as well, well, you'd be successful 8.4% of the time for the population compared to 1.6. But we know that's not right. It would be higher because these people aren't as severely affected by pain. So I'm talking about a public health perspective where we provide treatment for a large percent of the population, not just the people who are hurting the most. I mean, of course, it's available as well, but we're treating everybody, okay? So we need an accessible, community-driven intervention to help people better manage their pain and to improve their quality of life. And the program has to be widely disseminated. Even if it's only moderately effective, it could have a greater impact on patient care than a more effective treatment approach that is restricted in terms of people. So we're looking for that. And if we're going to think about a program that you need, it has to have, like, behavioral intervention. It has to be practical and feasible in a number of settings, like all over the province, not just at the pain clinics and in the big centers. A large percent of the population, of the relevant population, must be willing to participate. It has to be effective for long-term important physiological outcomes, behavioral endpoints, and quality of life. And people have to be satisfied. And the program has to be relatively low cost and cost effective. Okay, that's the kind of program we need. Okay, thus the self-management programs. Okay, these programs are the programs that are paid for by the Ministry of Health in British Columbia. So people participate in, they don't pay anything. I mean, the Ministry of Health is paying something to get them implemented, but people who participate don't pay anything. And it's like, who can take these programs? Persons with any type of chronic health conditions, self-referral. You don't need a doctor's referral. Spouses and significant others people can attend. And it's led by lay persons who have chronic conditions themselves or chronic pain themselves. And to lead the program, they get a 4-day training where they can demonstrate that they can follow a leader's manual. And the program is 2.5 hours a week for 6 weeks in a row, which is 15 hours. And the ideal size of the class is 10 to 15 people. And everybody who participates gets a book free as well, because people like to read. Living a Healthy Life with Chronic Pain. Okay? So we have these programs in British Columbia for about 30 years now. And we have the Chronic Conditions Program. We have the English, Punjabi, and Chinese. The Chronic Pain Self-Management Program, which is in English only, unfortunately. The Diabetes Self-Managed, and the Cancer Program. Okay? Also, we have it on online program for people who can't leave their homes, can just go in on their computers. And we also have Health Coach Program, the Health Coach, and that's telephone intervention for people who don't want to leave their homes. Okay? So, in this slide here, in the last 5 years, these are the types of programs we've been able to implement. So when I say a program, we've delivered 636 of these six-week programs to 12,784 people with chronic pain. So that's, remember the criteria for an effective program to deal with chronic pain? Okay. So it's really easy to, now there's a, I want to show you how you find out about this program and how easy it is to register. You just go to that website that I showed you. Okay. Here's a list of all the programs that are available in Vancouver Island right now. And look right there. There's one starting 2 days from now at the Hillside Senior Center. So people just go on here and they click the details and they register themselves. Okay. And you're in the course for 6 weeks in a row. And we find that nowadays about 50% of people who enroll in these programs, and every year between 3,500 and 4,000 people enroll in these programs, half of it is by the website, and half of it is people phoning. Okay, so we can go back now. Okay, and there's a phone number. Some people just want to speak to somebody and hear a live voice, a loud voice. Yeah, okay. Okay. So who leads these programs? Look at the average people who lead these programs. You can recognize nurses, maybe. You can recognize school teachers, business people, all sorts of people in different life. Way up in small communities, indigenous communities, having elders lead these programs. And if you're from the Victoria area, you will recognize these two people. Right? And even in ethnic communities, people come out and participate. And it's led, peer-led. Okay? So now, our whole program is based on these assumptions. Okay? The program was developed at Stanford University, and the assumptions were that all chronic pain comes from the brain. Chronic pain causes our nervous system to become oversensitive. Chronic pain is produced by an oversensitive nervous system that makes our brain protect our body. Chronic pain is similar to chronic stress, and our nervous system can change and become less sensitive. Those are the premises. And it's almost like, is this clear up there? Okay. You understand a chronic pain cycle, and this is very similar to what you're saying, that all these things are involved. You know, maybe if you have chronic pain, you have tight muscles. And when you have tight muscles, you're holding your body tightly, and that causes a little bit more pain. And maybe you're not breathing as effectively as you should, and that causes a little bit more pain. And maybe it's making you a little bit anxious and stressed, and then it makes you feel a little bit difficult emotions, and maybe that can lead to depression, and maybe depression leads to fatigue, and then when you're fatigued, you can't sleep as well. And all these things are in there, going round and round, and they feed on each other. They feed on each other. And in the program, we have a thing called a toolbox. And a toolbox is all these techniques that we train people to use so they can break the symptom cycle at all those different parts. And when you break the symptom cycles, the pain seems to diminish as well. And people don't have to use every single technique, but people usually find techniques that they like and find effective for them, and they use those. Okay? So now, how effective is this anyway? Now, there have been evaluations, and also every time a person takes a program, we ask, if you're not happy with what you've experienced, please write just a short note to Dr. McGowan and tell him why you're not happy. Well, virtually thousands of these letters come in, but there's never anybody saying that they don't like it. Their testimony is why they like it. And just listen to this and try not to get teary, okay? Because I will. I can't do it without tears, okay? Just a note to thank you for setting up this type of workshop for people of all ages and backgrounds, but who all happen to suffer from chronic pain, which, for the most part, has been ignored by the medical system. My daughter has suffered for many years with severe pain that seemed to evade definition, therefore, seems beyond relief and perhaps even imaginary if we accept what some doctors have told us. Appreciated hearing that she was not the only one with this problem. For the first time, her father and I were able to see her being able to assist others as they shared stories and sought to help each other. I think this sharing was definitely the greatest part of the program. Next, the ideas that were presented, such as making an action plan, learning how to problem solve, dealing with depression, etc., these are indeed the way back to putting value in your life. Learning to communicate your pain with others, and especially with healthcare professionals, surely this is one of the cornerstones of success, that being human, and may be a way of getting real help instead of just words in the air. It was also appreciated that our family could come together. This allowed us to check in with each other, to encourage each other, and to learn from each other. It allowed my husband and I a bit of time to see our daughter grow and be able to develop into a human being. Okay, so now, Again, I acknowledge this is just a testimonial, but when you get thousands of testimonials, where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay? So the first big study done in this program was 1998, and it did have some good results. It was an NHRDP-funded study, you know, improvements in health status, pain, independence, social role, physical functioning, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And it also supported the theory that confidence in your ability to manage pain played a big factor in being able to reduce pain. Okay? Now, this is the next study that's coming that we're all waiting for. There's been other studies, but we're waiting for this one, and this one will be concluded in 2020. And it's funded by the Centers for Disease Control in the United States because they're the big funding bodies. The competition went out a couple of years ago, and about 100 different organizations around the world bid to do this, and I was part of a Seattle group, but we didn't get it. This group from West Virginia did. And it's going to look at all these primary outcomes like pain, mental health, function, healthcare utilization, men miss work days, and cover the whole gamut. Okay, so we're just waiting for that. Now, I left these brochures at the tables outside. In it, there's a phone number in case you didn't get the phone number, or with a website. All you got to do is just explore it. If you're interested in a heart, like a no harm program that perhaps could help, please phone in and give it a try. Now, because I said I'm a member of the Patients as Partners Ministry of Health, we also have another partner who's involved in pain as well that I want to manage, PainBC. It's easy to remember PainBC. Just go online or phone, you know, the operator and get the phone number. Okay? And I think I'll end right there. Thank you very much.